Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm Paul MacDonald, alongside Brian Davis and Kev Nalen. Hello to you guys.
Hi, Paul.
Good evening.
Gary is still in Florida at the moment, enjoying the sunshine. Hello to you, Gary, out in Florida. Deepak's still feeling under the weather, unfortunately. So hopefully he'll get better soon. Best wishes to you out there, Deepak. And rest that voice as much as you possibly can. It is the preview show for the Week 12 game between the Arizona Cardinals and the San Francisco 49ers. Taking place on Sunday, 9 o'clock kickoff time here in the UK and 1 o'clock out in California. Taking place in Levi Stadium in California. Guys, what do we think about this game? How is it going to go? Brian?
The first question I really want to know is... Who are the tactics coming from and who's picking the team? Because if Joan from payroll's picking it, then I think we've got a chance. but if Jim Tom Sula, the man genius, and Jeep Christ have got any hand in this, then sadly, I can only see us coming out second best on Sunday.
It's difficult to disagree with any of that, really. just want to see a bit more spark and a bit more effort in going for things, trying out a few fourth downs. I mean, we've got over a 50% success rate this season on fourth down, so we might as well try it a bit more. At least look like we're trying to get some more points or get up the field.
The Vegas line on this game has the Arizona Cardinals as 10.5-point favourites. The last time they met was September 27th, and Arizona beat the 49ers by 40 points, but that was down in Arizona. 10.5-point favourites, do you think that's enough? Do you think we can cover that?
No, I don't think so. Even in our undefeated, alternate, disgusting black jerseys, I don't think we're going to cover it. It's really hard to be positive about the team at the moment. And,
yeah.
I'm not really a negative person at all, but just watching this team at the moment this season, unfortunately, is just really hard work and we've got to tough it out. And the way the team are playing and defensively, I mean, a lot of it will depend on what defense turns up ultimately, I think, on Sunday as to whether we can cover that because, they just weren't very good last Sunday against Seattle, and Seattle this season haven't particularly got a great offense. So we're now coming up against the best offense in the league. So, again, it's just hard to see any real positive outcome of this game for San Francisco, unfortunately.
Looking down the stats, it's not pretty reading. 49ers are 32nd in points scored this season. The Cardinals are first. That pretty much says exactly how this game is going to go. Points allowed, 49ers 23rd and Arizona are 13th. I won't go any further than that because it just gets even more depressing. There really is sort of no silver lining to this game, is there? But is there anything that we can look for in this game that, you know, we can take as a positive, win or lose? What do you think, Kev?
Well, I think if Blaine Gabbert manages to make another good effort like he has the last couple of weeks, see if Drawn can get some decent runs in this week. And for once in a lifetime, Ellington actually catches the ball and runs with it on a return. That would be a positive.
Yeah, I think the thing that we're looking forward to now in terms of thinking about the future of the team is with the amount of injuries and things like this on the roster right now and the amount of young players on the roster and the fact that we're almost done for in terms of playoff aspirations this season, we're now hopefully going to start seeing the likes of, you know, Armstead and players like this coming in and playing probably 80-85% of the snaps on defense and getting to have a real good look at some of the young players that we've actually got on the roster. I would say exactly the same. I'm going to beat this drum until I can't beat it any longer. In the fact that, you know, someone like Jarrod Haynes should really, this is his time.
Yes.
If we really want to have a look at this kind of guy, now's the time to play him. Don't wait till week 16, week 17 when potentially we could be up against other teams who are already out of playoff contention and tanking or just not particularly good. Now is the time when there's still a lot of competitive football going on. The stakes are still high for a lot of teams. This is the time we really need to be having a look at what we do actually have on the roster and bringing up guys on the practice squad and playing them and finding out what exactly we have got, because this season's done for. So let's plan for next season now and use this period of this season as a extended pre-season for next season, if you like, in some kind of ways, because it's pointless putting guys out there that we know what they can do and journeymen in the likes of the kind of guys that we were picking up off the street, like Pierre Thomas and players like that. We're not going to learn anything by looking at those players. Let's have a real look at these youngsters coming in. And again, if we get hammered, so be it. We really need to reevaluate in the off season, in free agency, and in the draft if these players aren't good enough. But we don't know that until we get them out there and start playing 4, 5, 6 weeks of football and give them a large chunk of snaps for players on both sides of the ball.
Jared Hayne had an interesting start, didn't he, at the beginning of the season, where he had those explosive runs, but he also had the fumbles as well. And I said on the last show, I would love to see him back in, and maybe his runs from punt return would offset any fumbles that he has. Like you say, the season's over. We may as well just see what he can do if he's learned to hold on to the ball a bit better.
And the only way we're going to find out is if he goes out there and gets hit.
Precisely.
It's all very well looking flash and good on the practice field, but how hard is he getting hit in practice? Probably not as hard as he's going to get hit on a Sunday night.
Yeah. Speaking of injuries, as you were, in case anybody's not noticed, if you've been living in a cave or something for the past 4 or 5 days, Glenn Dorsey did tear his ACL in the game against the Seahawks. So he is out for however long an ACL recovery is. It's in the months rather than anything else, isn't it? He more than likely needs surgery on that. So he did unfortunately tear his ACL, so he's not going to be available. How much of an impact that makes, we don't know, because when the team are tanking the way they are, it's probably better just to rest him anyway, and rest those players, bring in the new players, the trial players, that kind of thing.
We've seen jinx with injuries this season. I'm sure I read somewhere today about Ahmed Brooks being out with a concussion or on concussion, something to do with that this game coming up. It's like, we might as well just go for it, put all our youngsters in, give them a chance. We can't be doing any worse than we have been in a lot of games this season.
Yeah, and I think like what Kev said earlier, if we start moving into the kind of midfield area and it's 4th and 2, we'll go for it. even if it's only a 10 point game by that point, even in the first half, we'll go for it. Let's see what Blaine can do with that pressure on his shoulders. Because again, someone like Blaine Gabbert in these kind of games, this is another really good test for him. Can he stand up to the pressure that one of the best defences in the NFL can throw at him, and buy himself another season, potentially as this stopgap type guy that we could be looking at next season? Because who knows how the draft could shake out. There might not be a quarterback that Trent Baalke or whoever the GM might be in the offseason falls in love with or doesn't fall in love with in the draft. So it might be that now's Gabbert's kind of interview process for the 2016 season, and if he can show that he can be a decent enough stopgap, we can maybe look at something like what the Raiders have done and pick up a kind of guy like Carr in either the second round or maybe trade back into the bottom of round one and pick up one of those quarterbacks in that kind of area. And then in the top part of the draft, you can go and get your either the elite tackle or an elite pass rusher maybe in those top 3 or 5 picks somewhere.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that.
And we've got enough picks to trade on.
Exactly, yeah. And if it continues this way, we might even get something from Kaepernick at some point as well. So, and who's to say that half this team aren't tradable come the off season as well? Who knows?
Yeah, especially if some of these youngsters come in, put a few good performances in, then it's going to be a case of our other team's going to be sniffing around them while our front office pulls fluff out of their navel.
Yeah.
I couldn't have put it better myself, really.
Another positive for the game for me is if we lose, then it makes it harder for Seattle to win the division, and we'd all be quite happy if Seattle didn't win the division, even if it is with the Arizona Cardinals winning division. So there's another little tidbit of information for people to hang on to.
Anything's an improvement on the mob from Seattle winning anything.
Yeah,
exactly. So there you go.
ABS, anything but Seattle.
Yeah.
Right, I don't think we can talk any more about this game, really, can we? We said everything that needs to be said. I'm not going to ask you to pick a winner or a loser. We all think it's pretty much evident, and we won't say any more than that.
Yeah, the Cardinals have had a really good game against the Bengals as well, haven't they?
Yes.
And they're one of the better teams in the AFC right now. So we can only begin to imagine the destruction that they would willingly put on a divisional rival. Especially in their shiny new stadium, wearing their awful new uniforms.
Yeah. We've got a quick hello to say. First one of these that we've done on the show. So hello to Lauren Victorino, who is 13, and Sean Victorino, who is 10, both listening out in California. So hello to you guys, and thanks for listening to the show. Right. Should we go into our pick six then?
Yep, certainly. You'll be pleased to know we didn't manage to pick the 49ers game this
week. Because it was a gimme.
Yeah. It was close. At one point, it looked like it was going to be in there.
Yeah.
But it looks like common sense has prevailed.
We have had everyone picking games for the Thanksgiving 3, haven't we? Now,
we've had quite a few, yes.
Yeah, we've recorded this show before the Thanksgiving games, so we don't know what the results are, but the show is actually going to go out after the Thanksgiving game. So if you're listening to it now, we all know what the scores are. Obviously, we don't. So we don't know how anybody's done so far. Hence, there will be no sort of mention on what the results for those games are as yet.
Although they're pretty conclusive picks on the whole.
All right. Interesting.
Lions, Panthers and Packers. Mm. It's all like 17-3 or 16-4 on those picks so far.
Very one-sided then.
Yeah.
I tell you what, if any of these games are an upset, somebody's going to pick up great points, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So overall, Jordan McDonald is leading the way. Neil Jepson's a point behind. And in third is Mr. McDonald.
Woo! I'm 2 points behind now, though. This isn't good. I need to catch up.
Well, no, it's still nobody managed to score a perfect six, so that week seven is looking dodgier and dodgier.
A lot can change in a 9-game week.
I've got to say on this week 7 thing where I managed to score 6 points, I promise you, I did not fudge those picks. I promise you, my picks were made and documented and on air on the Saturday before those games.
Yeah, I'm just going to go back and check the raw edits of those recordings. Kev, I'll email them over to you tomorrow. We need a...
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Steward's inquiry.
Steward's inquiry on this, I think. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then 2 points behind Paul is Gary on 16. And then a point behind are Brian and Deepak on 15.
Yeah, not bad after my poor start, you see. See, it was that Portuguese sunshine clearly put me off that first week.
Yeah. And I've managed to drag my way into double figures.
Hey!
So
it's only taken me 5 weeks.
Yeah. But, who out of let's have a bit of a name and shame session here. Who out of the people that have picked every week is currently propping up the table?
That'd be me.
That'd be you.
That would be me. Yes.
Oh. Would it really?
I'm the only person on 10 points who's picked every week.
Oh dear. You've got a chance to redeem yourself now with a 9-game week. So.
Yeah, but even so, I'm sure I can find ways to
spin. The only way is up, as Yaz once sang.
Yeah, so looking at the people who played all 5 weeks previously, nearest person to me is on 14. So I'm only 4 points adrift if you're looking at the people who've done it every week.
Okay.
I've got to ask Kev, have you got a tie this week?
I have managed to pick a tie this week.
We should have a mini competition. Guess Kev's tie. And the reason for it. The reason's just...
Well, the reason's going to be awkward every time, so yes.
Oh, back over to you then, Kev.
Okay, so first game of the six this week. We've got 5 of them at the 6 o'clock kickoffs. and one in the 9:25 slot.
Okay.
So no late game this week, so we'll know before we go to bed what the outcome is. First game up is the Rams at the Bengals. Paul.
Rams at Bengals. The Bengals are 8-2 at the moment, aren't they? Rams are on a bit of a skid, 4-6. I'm going to go Bengals on that one, I think.
Okay, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty conclusive, pretty straightforward one to pick. I'm definitely picking Cincinnati in that one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, as I've managed to jinx them for the last 3 weeks, every time I pick them, I'm still going to pick the Rams, and we'll jinx them again. Okay, game two, the Vikings at the Falcons. Brian?
That's a tough one. Well, I'm going to go with Minnesota. I think Adrian Peterson can cause the Falcons some damage. If Sean Drone can rack up the yards against them, I'd like to be able to think that Adrian Peterson can have a really good day against Atlanta there. So, yeah, I'm going to take Minnesota.
Okay, Paul?
I think this one's an absolute coin toss, really. I'm going to go with the home team, Atlanta Falcons, to win.
Okay, so for myself, after delusions of adequacy, after their unbeaten start, the Falcons remember who they are and lose again as they aim to finish the season under 500. Okay, game three is the Giants at the Redskins. Brian?
I'm going to take the Giants in a close one.
Paul?
In the NFC least, is this game loser plays the Rams at Wembley?
In that division, that could be anything, to be fair.
Yeah, it really could. That whole division is a coin toss. Giants on the road to win that one, I think.
Okay, so this is my tie for the week. After a chance conversation about ticket scalping gets misconstrued outside the stadium, protesters manage to destroy the whole area.
These get more and more elaborate. It's brilliant.
Okay, game four. We've got the Bills at the Chiefs. Paul.
Bills at Chiefs. Again, another tight one. Both teams are 5-5. Let's go with Alex Smith. I've got the home team winning that one.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah, the Bills are an odd team. I thought at the start of the season they were going to be one of these kind of teams that sneak under the radar and are kind of sneaky good and make it into the playoffs. But I don't know. I just can't see it now. That was a bit of a pipe dream, I think. So I'm definitely going to take Alex Smith and the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the Chiefs as well as we go back to tradition with it being around Thanksgiving as they hunt down the Buffalo. Okay, game five. Dolphins at the Jets. Paul.
I don't want to pick either of these. I think they're both absolutely awful. Let's go with the home team advantage, New York Jets. Blech.
Brian?
Yeah, this kind of goes back in with the last pick'em. The Jets lost to the Bills, haven't they? And at one point, the Jets had a top five offense this season. Ugly game, but I think the Jets are going to win this one at home.
Yeah, I had written down, who cares, they're both awful. Jets to get a last second safety to win the game.
Yes, that's my kind of game.
And game six, the Steelers at the Seahawks. Brian.
It's in Seattle, so I think you've got to go with a home team there. Was it just me, or did it not sound particularly that loud on Sunday when we played there? Or was it because we weren't the force that we once were, and Seattle pretty much knew they just had to turn up to beat us on Sunday? It didn't seem as loud as it usually is.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking I'd just got a bad stream.
It could well have been that, because I was watching in the same way. I think Seattle at home. It could be a good game, this one. I think, is this one on the TV on Sunday night?
Yes, probably.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it's only the other 9:25 game, isn't it? Yep. Yes, I'll take Seattle at home.
Okay, Paul.
I think the 12th man's lost its voice. The Seahawks are 5-5, Pittsburgh 6-4. I absolutely, positively, definitely cannot pick the Seahawks to win. Steelers.
Okay. I'm going to go with you, Paul. Big Ben strikes and all the birds scatter.
Yes, love it. Absolutely love
it. Yeah, that's it then, boys.
So that is our pick sixes for this week then. I'm sure Andrew Mitchell will be putting them on Facebook very, very soon for everybody to start putting in your votes as well. And then, as you say, by midnight, we'll know who is top of our pick six leaderboard for this week. It should be. Do you know, again, these games, absolutely brilliant games picked. Some great coin tosses in there. Our boys know their stuff, don't they?
They do indeed, yes.
Anything else before we call an end to this show?
Joan from Payroll's Barmy Army.
Well, rather than Blaine is...
you can have a chant this week, not a song.
Fair enough. Right, that is it for this episode of the show then. Thanks to Andrew Mitchell for looking after the pick six for us, and of course to you, Kev, for coming on. Thanks to audionautics.com for the music. The discussions will no doubt continue on Twitter at Frequency49 and on Facebook. Just search the Frequency49 show. We'll be back next week with the review of the game against the Arizona Cardinals. Time to say goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye.
On behalf of Brian and Kev, I've been Paul McDonald. You've been the audience, and this has been the Frequency 49 show. Bye for now.